This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
8:17. As a 33 degree day here where I'm sitting, looking forward to it. I'm not sure if maybe they skipped the 30 and went straight for the 3 where Professor Dion Foster is at. Let's head off to Amsterdam to Professor Dion Foster, theologian and university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. Hey, Dion.
Goedemorgen, Brad. Ja. Gisterand begon het met sneeuw.
Oh.
It's snowing again outside. Beautiful, beautiful.
That sounds very nice. I wouldn't mind something like that. Just anything, some precipitation, anything that can fall and melt and make it wet here in Cape Town would be lovely.
Yes. Our daughter Courtney, who of course still lives in Cape Town, has been saying, oh my goodness, we are melting away, you know. So now I must say, Brad, you know, it is something beautiful, and that's been one of the blessings of living here, is you have these very distinct seasons, you know. Mm-hmm. You can see when it's winter, you can see when spring comes, everything blossoms. Summer's okay, both days of it. And then you have autumn and
that's
winter.
Funny.
Yeah.
Dion, you know, we know you're a theologian, you're a professor, you have multiple PhDs, you've been putting a lot of effort, thought, and work into what it is that you're so passionate about for most of your life, but you seem quite convinced that the rest of us could also be theologians in our own way. I'm very fascinated by our conversation this morning.
Brad, yeah. So just for our listeners, so yes, I am what's called a trained theologian, I guess, because the truth is all of us are theologians. Mm-hmm. Every Christian is a theologian. That word theology comes from two Greek words, theos and logos, theos meaning God and logos meaning ideas or reasoning or thoughts about God. And all of us, of course, are making sense of God in some ways, but some of us are called or set aside to do that in a slightly more technical way. You know, mm-hmm. just like all of us, in some senses, are electrical engineers. We're changing light bulbs and plugs and things. But some people are called to say, you know, go and study the thing and figure out how best to make it work. Now, why am I talking about this? So yesterday was the day on which Christians around the world think about one of the great thinkers of the Christian faith, a person called Thomas Aquinas. Now, if you've never heard about him, don't worry too much, particularly for us as Protestants, for evangelical Christians. Thomas Aquinas might seem a far-off figure. He was one of the great early theologians of the church, long before there was the split between Catholic and Protestant. He was one of the great thinkers, one of the people who most shaped the way in which we think about our faith. And he lived in that medieval period. And Aquinas's deep desire at the very heart of what Aquinas was trying to do was to answer that central biblical question, how do faith, reason, and desire belong together in the Christian life? So that was really what he spent his life doing. And he believed that reason, thinking about God and trying to make sense of what God is, who God is, what God is like, what God's will is, shows us how to live faithfully and responsibly. So not only discipleship, so the sort of moral, ethical side of things, but also spirituality. Now, behind this, Brad, just to say, is a very old idea that can be traced all the way back to Plato, actually via Socrates. Plato was the one who said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, of course, you know, it's good for him to say that. He was a philosopher. His job was to make sure people examined their lives. But I found that to be true. You know, when I encounter people who live thoughtlessly, think about that word, who live thoughtlessly, who don't think about others or about themselves or about non-human creation or about God, I often think, wow, you're missing out on so much. And of course, one of the great sort of the parent of what today we would call systematic theology, the way of systematizing, of giving reason to our faith, Anselm of Canterbury from England, mm-hmm. Said that, you know, theology is what he said in Latin, fideus quarum intellectum. If you are at a braai this weekend, you know, drop that in somewhere. So faith seeking understanding. And this I see very often, you know, amongst my students, amongst my colleagues. Some Christians, of course, are a little bit cautious about theologians, and I can understand that. But the really sincere theologians that I encounter really are trying to work with head, heart, and hands. They're trying to say, how do we figure out in our heads what we believe and feel in our hearts, what we desire, what we rightly desire, and what we should be careful not to desire, and how do we live that out in our hands? Now, that for me, Brad, when I think about it, is what we read in Romans chapter 12. Listen to this, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is one of the verses that theologians often rely upon. It says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes. And what's interesting is the Shema, that Hebrew confession, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. When Jesus presents it for the first time, if you go and look in the Gospels, what does Jesus add? He says, not only love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, which is what we get in the Hebrew tradition, but he says, and with your whole mind. Mm. So we know that for God, the mind is an important thing, and it should be transformed. So let me land this a little bit. So what struck me when I was reading about Thomas yesterday was a story that happened right at the end of his life. He was living in a monastery. He was a Dominican monk, and he was praying, and he heard the Lord saying to him, speaking to him, saying, Thomas, you have written so well of me. You've spent so much time thinking and writing down what you know of me. And he felt the Lord saying, what reward do you desire for your work? And this was his reply. He said, Lord, I long for nothing but you.
Wow.
So, Brad, my sense today is I really want to encourage our sisters and brothers, our siblings who are listening today, to say, don't be afraid of thinking about God. Even some of those difficult issues that we try and figure out, those deep theological questions, don't be afraid to bring them before God, to study the scriptures, to read some good theology, and try and stretch your mind. It's a little bit like exercising your mind.
Yeah.
In the presence of God, it's growing in a form of holiness, because I think it matters, not only so that we can live in ways that are better, that are truer, but also so that we can avoid some of the falsehoods and the problems that sometimes creep into our faith. So I'll end with this, Brad. Often when I'm flying somewhere and people ask me, what do you do? I think to myself, how much energy do I have? If I have very little energy, I tell them, oh, I'm a teacher. that settles it. If I've got a bit of time, I'll tell them, well, I'm an ethicist. You know, and they say, oh, how interesting. And if I really think this person could do with a bit of the gospel, I tell them, I'm a theologian, because that gives me that opening to let me tell you about the God who loves you more than anything else.
That's stunning. I wrote down here while you were talking, I made a few notes, and one of the things I wrote down now, just in lieu of what you've just said, sometimes we just lack the confidence to actually say what we believe and to be able to share that with somebody. And doesn't necessarily even mean I'm going to stand somewhere and evangelize, but just to be able to express, even to a fellow believer, like, what is it exactly that you believe? And I don't know why we lack the confidence. Are we afraid we're going to say the wrong thing? Are we going to get it wrong? Are we going to blow our, the effect that we hope to have that on people by sharing the good news of the gospel? Do we need to sit down and write down what we believe? I mean, do we have to solidify it? Because we seem to lack confidence.
Yeah. So, Brad, I mean, that's an absolutely valid point. And for many of us, that is the truth. We don't want to, number one, believe the wrong things. And perhaps we say something that might be wrong, or we get challenged on it, or people ask us, how and why do you believe that? So what you've just said, I think, is a good discipline, you know, is to sit down and say, what exactly do I believe? What do I believe about Jesus? What do I believe about the Holy Spirit? What do I believe about God the Father, the source of everything? What do I believe about creation that God has created, about the church? And just to say, one of the great places to start with that, the ways in which the church has often captured this, is to look at the creed. So last year, we celebrated the 1700th anniversary, 1700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed.
Yeah.
I believe in God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. So this Nicene-Constantinople Creed is one way that brings it all together. And you can think a little bit about that. But this one last thing always strikes me. You know, I think it's in 2 Peter where it says we should always be prepared to give an account. And the Greek word which is used there literally means a reasonable account of the hope of Jesus that lives within us. And I think that that's a good discipline to cultivate. Think it through, write it down so that when you get asked, you can give something that's meaningful, that hits the right spot, that's not accusatory or exclusionary or even heretical, but something that's loving and expresses the truth of who God is.
Yeah, I love that. If you need to listen to this again, if you feel like, oh, hang on a moment, I really want to get my head around what Prof. Dion is saying this morning, the podcast will be available for you later on today. As always, Dion, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for digging deep here with us this morning. We like it and I think we need it. So we give you double thumbs up and we send you off with some Cape Town heat to go and enjoy the rest of your snowy Thursday.
Thanks. I have my my boots on, my Dr. Martens, and I'm going to crunch to the bus this morning. It's a bit too icy to cycle. Thanks, Brad. Bless you. Chat next week.
Thanks, Dion. Bye for now.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.